The scripture tells us in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In another portion of scripture, he says that he would confirm, everybody say confirm, he would confirm his word with signs following. He didn't tell us what the signs would be necessarily, but there would be signs that would follow a word that would confirm to those who heard it or saw it that that was the word of God. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, Brother Kendrick has the recording. He'll be uploading it this week. The Lord is confirming his word. The Holy Ghost, this isn't a Nick thing, it's not a bishop thing, it's not a ECE thing. The Spirit of the Lord is drawing the church. You know, when you go fishing, there's a whole bunch of fish in the water. You drop one thing in. You drop one lure in. You drop one hook in. You drop one worm in. And then somebody decides, I want that. And they go get it. And you bring it in. You unhook them. You put them on a stringer if they're legal. And then you re-bait that. You put it right back out. And somebody else says, I want that. And they go get it. Did you know that the Spirit of God isn't all that much different? He simply, through his messengers, he puts a word out. The word is of late. I'm going back 6 or 7 weeks ago. Bishop made a statement after a Sunday. Maybe it was a Wednesday after a Sunday, or maybe it was that Sunday after the ministry of the word. He made the statement. He said that it's like the Holy Ghost is asking us to step up a little bit higher. He's asking us for just a little bit deeper consecration. Nobody's doing anything wrong. Have you heard any preaching on sin lately? No. That's not the direction the Holy Ghost has taken us. I don't believe that there are lives full of sin in this room. I don't believe that anybody leaves here and goes off and intentionally sins. I believe that everybody here wants to do the right thing and wants to be in right standing with God. And so all that he asks of us, what the Spirit of the Lord and the ministry of the Holy Ghost has been doing the past few weeks, is just saying, hey, come on, I've got some things for you that you're hungry for them, you're desperate for them, you've been asking for them, and I want to do them in you. And so there's just a few other things. There's a hunger issue. Brother Heiner talked about it on Wednesday night. It can be anything. I identified with what he was saying. I made a statement in passing about you can't binge on Netflix all week and then wonder why you come to church and there's no flow in your life. He made a statement. He said, well, it's not Netflix for me, but it's YouTube hunting videos. We all identify with something different, but what the Holy Ghost is saying to us right now in this hour, this season of the church, what the Holy Ghost is saying to us is there's other things that are filling up your life, and you need to get them out. You need to pour them out, rid yourself of them so that a hunger for me and more of me can grow. And so the time that you dedicated to this can be spent in the word, and the time you dedicated to that can be spent waiting upon me and waiting for me to pour things into your spirit. Oh, because I've got things I'm wanting to show you. I've got things I'm wanting to give you. I enjoy music. I enjoy music a lot, and I'm a music person. I don't listen to a lot of music because I generally don't have time. I'm usually on the phone, and when I'm driving, I'm usually on the phone, so I don't get to listen to a lot of music. But generally, when we're around the house, if we're cleaning or picking up the bedrooms or doing whatever, sometimes people just move a little quicker when there's a little bit of gospel music playing. You know? Everybody can wake up on Saturday morning and kind of be in a little bit of a grumpy, tired mood because they went to bed too late. And you can turn on a little bit of Fred Hammond. Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. And just before you know it, you're just, Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. Just changes the whole mood. That's generally when I listen to music. I enjoy it. But the other day, there's a song that's been out for a while. A young man who writes, he's a wonderful songwriter, mightily used of God in this. And he doesn't have a lot of grandeur. He has a guitar. He doesn't have big bands and drums and all that. But he wrote a song. I think the title of the song is "Make Room." I don't know, but he literally just in the song he just says, "I will make room for you." He says, "I will make room for you." That's it. That's all he says. And he gets to a part of the song when he starts to talk about things in his life, and he says, "You can move that over. My will, you can move that over. My plans, you can move that over. My desires, you can move that over." I don't know why, but that a few months ago, that really became an anthem to me. Father, you can move that over. Whatever it is that you want to pour into me, if there's not room for it right now, you feel free to get it out. You can move that over. Because I want room. I want hunger for whatever it is that he wants. Would you pray again right now? In the name of Jesus. Really what it comes down to, Lord, is I've got to want you. I've got to want what you want for me more than I want anything else. I pray, let that desire prevail in my heart and in my spirit today. In the name of Jesus, I declare that, Father. I declare that, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hilarabasatororobahaye. Hilararonosotororoboshetianaraba. Ilararane sotororomashataye. Ilararane kosotororoboshetianaramahaye. Ilararane kosotororobashataye. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the book of Acts, I believe it was in the 15th chapter, Mars Hill. Where's that at? 15, 16, or 17? Somebody know off the top of your head? Come on, Bible scholars. Where are we at? 17. Acts 17. Can you throw it up there real quick? My first year of Bible quizzing was Acts 15 to 28. So I could see it. I knew it was in 15, 16, or 17, but I couldn't remember which one. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him." Why would they find him? Because he's not very far from every one of us. Anybody here ever seen the cartoon of the donkey and the carrot and the wagon? It's just a guy with a stick, and he's got that carrot out in front of that donkey, and so the donkey just walks, because wherever that carrot's going is where he's going, because he thinks he's going to get the carrot. That's not God. His relationship, this dimension of relationship that he wants us to walk in, is not a carrot in front of a donkey on a horse or in front of a donkey in a cart. It's something that if you seek it, if you seek him, If you seek to be filled with him, you will find him, because he's not very far from you. This isn't some far-flung thing that we talk about is superstition, as though, oh, just to be in relationship with God, and if God was to come down into fellowship with man, and if these aren't ifs, the scripture is full of applications and examples that if I will seek him, I will find him. And if I'm hungry for him, he will fill me. Pray again right now. In the name of Jesus, we seek you, Father. We seek you, Father. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, for the Kendrick. Sergi, whoever's head's hiding behind that screen. You know, I want to jump to, let's jump to verse 7 first. We're going to go back and read 1 through 6, but can you go to verse 7 real quick? I don't know how this ties in today. That's not my job to do. I can tell you that the Lord put a scripture, one of these scriptures, in my spirit early, early Saturday morning. And this morning, he brought it back to me. I went and looked it up, and I began to realize what it's tied into here. And so we're going to read verse 7 together here, and then we're going to go back and read 1 through 6. And I think that there's some stuff in here that the Holy Ghost is wanting to talk to us about today. Verse 7 says in the KJV, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Verse 7 in the New Living Translation says it this way. Excuse me. "Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all of these things." In the Amplified Bible, I want to read it to you there too, just because this is the basis of what the Lord is talking to him about and all these things. He says there, "Think over the things that I'm saying. Grasp their application, for the Lord will grant you an insight and understanding in everything." Now, the verse that the Lord dropped into my spirit was actually in verse 6. But as I begin to read the context of 1 through 6, I begin to realize that there were actually 6 different things that he says to him that, in my mind, they're completely unrelated. But he says he relays these 6 things to Timothy and then says, listen. He stops and says, listen to what I'm saying, Timothy. These things don't make sense to your human mind. I'm not saying these things. He's using human or natural examples to explain some things to him. He goes, listen, I'm not talking to you in the natural sense. I'm talking to you spiritually. And you need to let the Lord show you. Let the Lord give the understanding in all these things and how they apply to your specific situation. So jump back to verse 1, please. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong." This is the first thing that it tells him. "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." What? You need to go lift weights? Do you need to go to the gym? Do you need to get on a workout program? No. Let's go to the Amplified Bible so we can understand this for all the weightlifters in the room. "So you, my son, be strong, constantly strengthened and empowered in the grace that is to be found only in Christ Jesus." He starts off, thing number one is, don't you dare try relying on your flesh. This is a work of the Spirit, Timothy. all the things that I'm talking to you about, go read those two letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, powerful stuff in there. You could spend a week studying all the things that Paul relayed to Timothy, but he tells him this, listen, number one, be strong in grace. Understand that it is the grace of God that you do what you do. Number two, verse two. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Here's that in the Amplified Bible. The things, the doctrine, the precepts, the admonitions, the sum of my ministry, which you have heard me teach in the presence of many witnesses, entrust as a treasure to reliable and faithful men who will also be capable and qualified to teach others. I like what the New Living Translation says. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. This isn't just one thing I taught and you were like, I don't know, Bishop, that's way out there. That's a crazy concept. I'm not sure I can, this is not. He said, the things that I've taught you, they have been confirmed to you by many witnesses. The Holy Ghost has confirmed to you. This wasn't me saying, all right, now you heard from me. Now I want you to go talk to Brother Thompson about this because he's going to. Then we get done with that. Go talk to Brother Berglund. Those weren't the witnesses he was talking about, but he was talking about a work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God has shown you that the things that I'm saying to you are of the Spirit of God. And these things that I'm saying to you, have to take them and commit them. You have to teach them to other people. Number three. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's not fun. Remember verse 7. When you think about these things, Timothy, I'm telling you some things, but these are spiritual things. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that warreth, this is still a part of verse 3. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 4 in the New Living Translation says, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. What did we start off talking about today? Being full, being hungry. He says a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He doesn't get caught up in all these ancillary things. He doesn't entangle himself with all the affairs of this life. Why doesn't he do that? Because his desire is to please God. And if my life's entangled with all of these other things. Anybody here ever been tangled up in anything? I went fly fishing a couple weeks ago. I don't have to say anymore. It was the second day. I had this, it had been a couple of years since I had a fly rod in my hands, and the first day I got the feel of it back. And there's nothing, Brother Reuter, like the feel of a good fly rod in your hand. That's way more money than I'll ever spend on a fly rod, but a guide gives it to you and says, don't break that, it cost $1,000. You're like, yes, sir. Hold on to that thing with a death grip. And the feel of that line and that fly rod in your hand when you take it back and you stop and you make that perfect swirl that you see in the picture of a fly fisherman, and it goes back and it hooks and it comes back over the top of you. And but you just get that feeling. You get, it's just, it's unbelievable. And you're on the river in the morning, and there's a little bit of vapors coming off the river, and you're just, ooh, you feel Jesus, and you just. So morning number two, I'm feeling confident in myself. I'm with a new guide that day, and he goes, I've got the spot. I'm going to take you to this place on the river, and we're going to catch fish today. And so we drive way up this gravel road, and we put in by this dam, and he oars out of the water, and he just spent an hour at the truck making up this line and putting this perfect jig on there, and we're going to put that thing in the water. And so I've got it unhooked. I'm in the back of the boat. I've got the jig in this hand. I've got my fly rod in this hand, and I'm waiting for the cue from him when he says, put it in the water. And that means that you're going to hit the perfect spot. You're going to start throwing that thing out there. And I'm feeling good. And he says, go. And we're in the middle of the river. We're in the stream, and I can see the fish, and I throw that thing out there, and I come back, and I'm getting ready to make the perfect cast. And I hooked myself in the nose and wrapped the fishing line around my neck. Because anybody who understands fly fishing line, it's like that stuff is just like, it goes from being like straight to around your neck just like that. And so that first entire 5-minute float through a hole that was just full of the biggest trout I'd ever seen in my life, I'm watching them in the water while I'm lying wrapped around my neck, hooked in the nose, and I'm just staying there with a pole in my hand. And the guy looks back about if we come out of the hole, and he goes, I didn't hear much out of, oh my goodness. What did you do to yourself? You got blood running down your, you hooked yourself in the nose. When the scripture says, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life, that's what I envision. I was useless. Floating by the biggest trout in the Missouri River with a hook in my nose, entangled with the one thing that was supposed to be an asset to me. Don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Why? Because you become useless to the one who picked you and said, hey, you, yes. Come with me. Yes. Come with me. Yes. I've chosen you. Oh, wait a minute here. Let me get untangled first from all this stuff. Verse 5. This is number 4. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. As Brother Miko said earlier, we're going to read that in another translation. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. That's the NLT. Here's the Amplified. And if anyone competes as an athlete in competitive games, he is not crowned with the wreath of victory unless he competes according to the rules. Timothy, you're not going to do this your way. Paul talked a lot about, wrote a lot about a crown of glory that awaits. He talked about, Paul liked to use this idea of athletes. We'll come back and we'll throw a bone to all the weightlifters and all those workout people in the room. He liked to talk about athletes. He said, listen, I don't just box the air. I don't punch the air. I don't waste a bunch of effort. I'm precise in my movement. I do exactly what I need to do because we're in a fight and we're in a race and everybody's running to win a prize. I don't start out a race to lose it. I don't play pickup basketball to be on the losing team. I want to be on the winning team. Paul is telling Timothy here, listen, anybody who wins has got to follow the rules. God has a specific thing that he wants from you. A specific plan for your life. And you got to follow it to the T. Now here's the scripture, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be. Everybody say must be. First partaker of the fruits. Bishop, you get the first cherries every year. You're driving through that orchard on that tractor. He reaches out. He starts trying them before anybody else has even had them yet. He's a partaker of them. That's not what he's talking about here, though. He's talking spiritually to Timothy. That if you want to lead people to spiritual places, and if you want to instruct people and let the Holy Ghost impart things to individuals through your ministry, if I'm going to get up and say to you, in order to be hungry, you've got to be empty, then I first must be willing to empty myself. And if I'm going to tell my children at night when I put them to bed, listen, you need to pray and read your Bible every day, then they better see me pray and read my Bible every day. Timothy, if you're going to minister to the church and you're going to share my word with them, then there are things, Timothy, that you're going to have to go through yourself. I don't know if this is just common knowledge or if I'm going to share something today that is revelatory to you, either side of the aisle. Okay. There is very little that I stand here on any given Sunday or Wednesday or anywhere I'm at, anywhere the Lord allows me to minister and hold a mic in my hand and talk about, that I haven't first gone through myself, whether it's a struggle, whether it's a shortcoming, whether it's a victory, whether it's the lack of victory. I've first. Now there are times that I've ministered things and I thought, wow, that was, wow, whew, never seen that before. And I go home within a few days. Was I prophesying to myself? Timothy, I'm going to show you things. He told him in verse 7, you need to let the Holy Ghost talk to you about the things that I'm telling you. There are things that the Holy Ghost is going to show you. These things of impartation that you receive that I'm asking you to put in other people also. That can't happen until they're first enacted in your own life. Those were at Youth Congress. There was a prayer session that preceded every service. And I'm coming to a close here. There were prayer sessions that preceded every service, and they would generally have 2 to 3 people that would get up and minister in prayer. And they were encouraging young people. There was, you know, a few thousand young people that had gathered there for prayer early. And so they would take the mic and they would begin to encourage young people in prayer. Different people did different things and you know, tried to let the Lord use them in the capacity that they knew to be used in. And so for 3 nights, there were 2, sometimes 3 individuals over a 30-minute period that would hold the mic, and they would pass the mic around on the platform, and they would begin to lead in prayer, and they would encourage young people to pray. And on Friday night, there were 3 people that night on the platform. There were 2 young men and a young lady. The first young man, he took the mic and began to lead in prayer. And I'm telling you, there was a powerful atmosphere in there. He prayed for a few minutes, and then he passed the mic off to another young man, and that young man for 5 or 10 minutes began to pray, and he began to exhort, and he began to say things. And then he passed the mic off to the young lady. And if you're there, you were there, you know exactly what I'm about to say. Something shifted in the atmosphere. And she took that mic, and she went where she goes every day in prayer. in her personal prayer time. She didn't exhort anybody. She didn't tell anybody what to do. She went into her prayer closet and she shut the door. And every person, some 30,000 people, got to witness what she does every single day. Now, she didn't get an invitation to, hey, we want you to lead prayer on the last night of Youth Congress. So she said, ooh, I better start praying. No, she was the first partaker of a prayer life. And when somebody stuck the mic in her hand and said, I want you to lead in prayer tonight. He didn't give her a script of what to do. She just began to let come forth what she'd already been a partaker in. That's what Paul's talking about to Timothy. You want God to use you in some capacity? I left here Wednesday night thinking about this. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with me. We were talking about hearing the voice of God and repeating it. We were talking about it from the standpoint of holding the mic in your hand. And has anybody here, don't raise your hand, have you ever encountered somebody on the street corner, maybe in a Starbucks, maybe somewhere on your job, and they started talking to you about Jesus, and you're like, whoa, I didn't even have to ask him. They just started talking to you, and then you wanted to say something back to him. You wanted to engage in conversation, but it was like you were just like, didn't have anything to say. I know the scriptures. Come on, they're there. All like, I don't know, 7,000 of them or something. They're right. Come on. And you're just like, yeah, you know, Lord, yeah, praise God. I'll raise my hand. I've been there. And I walked away thinking, that ain't happening again. Whatever that was. Oh, so you went home and you started memorizing more scripture and you started. No. I went home and began to prepare myself. What we talked about on Wednesday night is applicable to every part of our lives. It's not just pulpit ministry. But I'm telling you, when there comes a flow of ministry through your life, it can be on a street corner. And somebody says to you, can you believe the direction the world's going? Yeah, I can, because the Bible says, the scripture said, God said. It might be in a Starbucks, and you just met somebody that was trying to sell you something from Amway, and the next thing you know, you're in a Bible study, and it just flows out of you. But I've got to be willing, first of all, to spend time alone with him in his word and in prayer so that he can pour that stuff into me. And then when it's time, he can then pull it out of me. You know, I was just telling my wife this the other day, if the musicians want to come. I can't recall the majority of what I spent almost 7 years of my life memorizing. I just can't. If you were to tell me, Acts 21:28 or 21:20. I just can't. 1 year I quizzed Acts 15-28. The next year it was selected Psalms. The year after that it was the Epistles, and then I can't even remember what the rest of them were. That's three of the seven. I put a lot of word in here that I don't know. I guess a lot of times past I don't have the ability just to pull it. So I know some people that can, but I will tell you something. There are moments in ministry, there are moments in encounters with people where the Holy Ghost starts bringing that stuff back. And there ain't any credit Nick Johnstone can take for that. Because this brain's fried. It's got way too much information, and it has difficulty even recalling what I had for breakfast yesterday morning. And so when I stand there in front of somebody, I say, you know, the scripture says, and you quote a scripture, and the Bible said in the book of Acts, this, you know in that moment that the time you've spent with all those highlights and underlines, letting that stuff get poured into your spirit, now he's oh, I need that. Here, let's pull that out. That's what Paul was talking to Timothy about. If you'll spend time alone with God, prayer and reading of the Word, be a partaker of these things that I've taught you, Timothy, they will pour out of you, and you will begin to impart them to other people. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. 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 In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Halalama sotororo bashiataye. Ilararande alalabo sotororo bakiataye. Ilararando robo shetiana rabahaye. Ilanari alalabo sotororo bakia. In the name of Jesus. Some of you have heard this testimony before. I feel led to share it again right now. Through the first 20-something years of my life, I had prayed with multiple people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and not a single person ever prayed with it ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not while I was praying with them. I didn't understand what to do. It was in Wapato sometime in 2007, 2008, Bishop Wright, at the request of our bishop, did a session on how to pray people through the Holy Ghost. It was about a 45, 50-minute session. And then that night, we had a Holy Ghost crusade. And for the first time after receiving that impartation, it was impartation to me, that night, the first person that I prayed with received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The second person that I prayed with received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A couple months later, my wife and I went to youth camp. We were participating in ministry there. That week, throughout the course of that week, there were five or six different kids that the Lord led me to, and God filled every single one of those kids with the Holy Ghost. There was one particular kid that there was a young man there one night praying for somebody. I came up beside him, I put my arm around him, and I began to talk to the young man he was praying for. Began to share with him some things that the Holy Ghost had imparted to me in that meeting. I said those in the company of that young man because I guess I just didn't, at the time, I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want him to think I was pushing him out. I didn't want to dump a bucket of water on his Holy Ghost zeal. And boy, he was really praying. He was doing the shake 'em prayer. This kid had been rocked around, had sweat pouring off his face. I was half not wanting to dump water on the zeal, half trying to save this poor kid from passing out and dying in the altar. So I put my arm around both of them and I talked to them. And I said some very simple things to them. And God filled that young man with the Holy Ghost. A few months later, I was at an event. I don't even remember where I was at. But the young man that I'd put my arm around, he came and found me. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, that night you came and you put your arm around me and you prayed for that young man. He said, the things that you said, I had never heard anyone say in my entire life. I've been in church my whole life. He said, I want you to know how much that impacted me. He said, I left youth camp and I went back to school and I was teaching Bible study in the cafeteria to a Muslim kid one day. And this kid said something of the fact that, could God give me the Holy Ghost right now? And he said, yes. And I said to him the exact same things that you said in the altar that night, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost in less than 5 minutes in the cafeteria. The things that you've received among many faithful witnesses, the same commit thou to others, other faithful men, that they may be able to teach others also. The things that the Holy Ghost wants to impart to you, they are not for you and you alone. but he pours them into you so that at some point he can pull them out of you and use them to pour into somebody else. So that some unsuspecting kid can walk into a high school cafeteria. I'm telling you, Brandon, you don't know the impact you had downstairs this summer. Them young boys were walking around down there laying hands on people because they saw you do it. You don't understand the power of impartation that you had upon their lives. You may even question, why am I down here? What impact am I making? We saw it today. Parker runs around the house laying hands on everybody and everything now. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The things that you've received, take them and pour them into somebody else. Impart them to somebody else. But first, you've got to let it be a part of your life. You be the first partaker of the fruit and then see what God won't do through you. Let's stand. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you consider yourself a hyphen and you're in the room, I want you to come to the front. If you don't know, that's if you're over the age of 18. Jesus' name. Would you stretch your hands towards the front of this place right now? Come on, let the Holy Ghost flow through you. Be a vessel that He can flow through for the next few moments.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, Hikayata yala bashondo lola bahai. Hikayata yala la maso. Hikata yala bashata. Hilama lobo shikaya basata. Let there be a loosing right now in Jesus' name. Let bounds be broken right now in Jesus' name. Hikatayana bashikatahai. Hilololo bashatahai. Hikayatayalolo mosima. Himatayala bashokotahai. Hikataya. Hilolo bashikatabahai. Let the giftings of God be stirred up right now in the name of Jesus.
Be glorified.
Come on, Timothy, stir it up right now. Let the Lord stir it up right now. praise should be stirred up right now.
The praise.
You get the honor.
I just want to thank you. You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You take the honor.
For the glory of God. For the glory of the kingdom of God.
Thank you. In my life.
You
glorify.
You
glorify. You take the honor.
Ilabaya tayado shikatabahai.
You get the glory.
Ilalala masio no koshikatabahai.
You take the honor.
Ikayado no no mashikatabahai.
You get the glory. You get the praise.
Just 1 second. I've been here 15 years. Spent 25 years in another church, and I'm telling you, in the last 15 years, I've witnessed more impartation among this fellowship. I'm talking about encompassing all life church congregations, manifest meetings, call the war meetings, right hand of God meetings. And a lot of you have sat right beside me in these chairs, and chairs in Maryland, chairs in Wapato, chairs in Kent, chairs in Sela, and you've received the same ministry I've received. Some of you have watched hours and hours and hours of YouTube videos. Some of you keep up with stuff that Bishop Wright says, podcasts. I do too. Here's what I felt in the Holy Ghost while I was praying for these individuals. At some point, the things that have been poured into our spirit have got to come out. And we can't become a generation who just sits around, just pour into me, pour into me, pour into me. Oh, I want this. I want. At some point, I'm talking to everybody in the room, you've got to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Ghost and let something that's been poured into you become activated. And when something becomes activated in you, it can't help but come out of you. If you've received impartation regarding prayer, it ought to at some point come out of you. If you've received impartation about apostolic ministry and authority and utterance, at some point it ought to become activated and come out of you. I'm compelling you right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. You ought to lift your hands in this room and you need to pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. Anything that's been poured into my spirit that's lying dormant, let it be activated right now in Jesus' name. Come on, we don't need one or two hyphens to get on board with this. He's looking for an army. He's looking for an army.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, let there be a spirit of boldness right now. Let there be an impartation of boldness right now. Kikataya la bahataya. Kilomoshikataya. Boshia.
You get the praise. You
Hila Yamano Sikaya. Let there be a confidence in the word of God. Let there be a confidence in the rhema of God. Kikaya shilobo tabasaya. Kikatayando shima la basaya. Kilalabando kota basaya. It's not by might, it's not by power. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. Kialabashataha. My expectation is on you, Jesus. Kiatayalabashataha. Kaya lo robo shila basata hikatayano hilala mataya shikata hikalo shila basata ba Hilala mashikota sata bahaya. Hikala lama yo siyata bashata. Hiyata yeyala lama shoko baha. Hiala la masiko to shata. Hila ikataya. Yonushi ala bakaya. Shikoto satabaha. Hikaya tayando sila la mata. Hilolo la bakashika tabaha. Hilala la bosikataya. For 1 second. Quiet for 1 second. Listen. Listen, listen. We're not quenching this spirit here. The Lord gave me direction. I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with Elder Hart, and the Lord's been burdening me for several of you in this age group. And I'm freshly removed from it, so I'm still right there. There is a deep, significant pressure that comes on this age group Because everybody wants to know what your future is. There's so much to figure out in this age group from 18 to 30. There's just so much going on, so much busyness. You're seeking after God. You're trying to figure out what the future holds for you. What am I going to do as a career? What where's the Lord taking me? And there's so much searching and pursuing and trying. And if we're not careful, we can be distracted by all that stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Lord wants to order our steps. But I feel to pray together as a group this morning that the Lord would remove these distractions from our lives, that He'd remove these distractions of expectations, some internal and some external. We're surrounded by questions about, you know, our lives, and we have those questions ourselves. But if you would agree with me right now, we're going to surrender those things to the Lord. We're going to surrender the things of this world, our futures. This is significant. This is significant. This can completely distract us from being in where God wants us to be. Would you lift up your voice right now in agreement and in a place of surrender? In the name of the Lord Jesus, let there be a loosing of distraction. I bind every distraction right now. I bind every expectation that's not of you, Lord. Let there be a liberty right now. Let there be a liberty to pursue you, Jesus. Let there be a liberty to pursue the leading of the Holy Ghost. Come on, surrender those things right now. I loose every weight right now, Jesus. I surrender it to you. You know my future. You know the thoughts you have for me, God. I trust you right now. I trust you in this moment, Jesus. You know the end from the beginning, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hila mandoshi atala la basaya. Hila la maso koshi katahai. Would you thank him today? Thank him today. Jesus, thank you. I cast my cares upon you, Lord. I thank you for caring for me, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, God bless you. Spend time greeting one another. God bless your week in Jesus' name.